Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Eric Bledsoe of the Phoenix Sun, and I'm in the cave with my man, PLR.
What's up, everyone? Happy Tuesday to you. It is an extremely happy Tuesday. That's right. It's the start of the NBA season, and we will be very basketball heavy today. This is BLR. This is the Cave Show. Thank you for coming in and joining us and hanging with us for part of your afternoon. We are, as usual, brought to you by the one, the only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Located in Chandler, Arizona. Alma School and Chandler Heights is the location you want to be. Let them know PLR sent you, and they will take 10% off of any cigar purchase you have. Again, that's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located in Chandler, Arizona. That's Alma School and Chandler Heights. When you buy your sticks, you do not have to take them home and risk them going bad. You can become a member. Keep everything in your locker. It'll have a name tag on it. It'll back up to a humidor. Everything will always be good and fresh in there. And then when you come down, you just take your cigar out, enjoy it in front of the 11 big screen televisions they have. They do have the NFL ticket. So you can sit there, relax, and watch any football game that you want. They do not close until the last NFL game goes off. Again, that's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located Alma School in Chandler Heights. Let them know PLR sent you from the Cave Show, and they will take 10% off of any cigar purchase that you have. All right, everyone, it is here. It is finally here tonight. The NBA tips off. We had a couple of games planned, and there are always hype games to get started. I'm going to lead off with Cleveland and Boston, followed by Golden State and a new look, Houston Rockets. I am excited for these games. I am ready. I am willing. I am ready. Wow. Basketball season is here. With them moving the season up, it really seems like it came around so fast. And this is one of the last time, or excuse me, this is one of the first times ever that it seemed like the season never really ended. It just seems like it, because with all the news that happened this offseason, we felt more like football, as football never ends. I mean, there was something happening every second up until tonight. I mean, a couple weeks ago, it's like, okay, camps are opening, media days are happening. In a couple days, all the moves should just about be done. And then we look up, and on a Sunday, Dwayne Wade is bought up by the Bulls. A few days later, he's signed by the Cleveland Cavaliers. So these moves still have not stopped. Everything is still going on. And now the season is here. And it seems like it just all happened the way it was supposed to happen. Again, this is one of the first times in a long time that I've noticed that the season has gone about in a way that didn't seem like it ever ended. And I know every 4 years, it seems like everything goes a little long because of the Olympics, the Summer Olympics, but that's not really the NBA, that's the Olympics. And even though the Olympics are just incredible to watch, an incredible event, something that makes you really proud of living where you live, in the country that you live in, because you're going to root no matter what, and you're going to find yourself at some point saying, USA, USA. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, and there's absolutely nothing with watching those games. But there is a difference. because it almost seems like NBA action halts for a time. But nothing ever stopped. There was move after move after move. And I know you may say, well, when we were trying to figure out what LeBron was going to do, but that was one person. I mean, we saw move after move after move by everyone in the NBA. You know, we saw all-stars moving. And that's not something that we see a lot and that we see every single day. Hey, we do have a caller online, so before I keep going into this diatribe here, let's get our caller on. Thanks for calling. This is the K Show. This is PLR. Who do we have online?
Hey, Plar, it's LOU.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
All right. I see you switched the time.
We have a special time this week. We had announced it on social media. It's just 12:30 till for this week, and then we're back at our normal 1 o'clock next week. But this is a
you mean 12:30 your time?
12:30 our time, correct? We had a swap out. There's a lot of stuff going on. We wanted to be make sure we were able to cover all the football stuff and all the basketball stuff with the season
opening day
tonight. Yeah, opening day. And it seems like you got here faster than ever.
I don't think so. I think it was a bit of a drag. You know, the off season kind of just drags on a bit, especially once you get into like July and August.
Yeah, you know, usually there's nothing. All deals are done, but this year deals were being done up until a couple days before camp started in media day with Dwayne Wade being bought out by the Bulls and moving on. Because basketball, unlike football, where, you know, football has done a good job of making itself a year-long sport with when the draft is, when free agents get signed, with the meetings, you know, pre-camp, voluntary camp. They've done a real good job of making it, in essence, a 17-week season, a 52-week season. This is the first time in a long time that basketball has pretty much done the same thing. I mean, the season ended, then the draft, and then summer league, and that took us through July. And then all those moves in August and September, and then lo and behold, the season moves up 2 weeks earlier to break up some of those back-to-back games. And
right.
When you think about it, we really only had a couple-week, three-week off-season, and here we go.
Yeah, but then again, you think about it, it's, you know, competing now against baseball playoffs, and that, you know, that could probably hurt them, you know, too.
Yeah, we will definitely see the – baseball and basketball are kind of funny because the crowds are similar, but they're yet still a little different. I mean, I think it's one of these nights where those baseball playoffs are incredible, to be perfectly honest with you.
Oh, yeah.
I think watching baseball playoffs is truly one of the most fun things to do because every pitch means so much. But I think tonight you're going to have those people watching a baseball game, flipping quickly over to the basketball game, flipping back over to the baseball game. Unfortunately,
one of them.
And this sounds real bad. The Yankees are, and watch how I say this, but the Yankees are really pulling through the American League in that they have that name, the Yankees. And no matter how good Houston is, you couldn't ask the average baseball fan to name four people from the Houston Astros and watch them do it. So the Yankees are really helping fuel that. And then the Chicago Cubs and the Dodgers, you don't have to say anymore. I mean, you have the Dodgers, who are an iconic team from the past, the Cubs, who are an iconic team from the past. You have Central, you have West Coast. So you have everything in the middle watching. So that's baseball is very fortunate that worked out that way for them.
I think the Yankees are going to pull it out, too.
Here's what's crazy. I would not be surprised if either the team down 0-2 pulls it out. The Cubs, to me, the Cubs are the most dangerous team, and here's why I say that. If you're down 3-1 in the World Series and you do not have home field and you come back and win a title that you had not won in 108 years, and now you're the champs, and so now you've gotten fat all year of people buying you steaks and beers, and then All-Star game hits, and boom, you guys snap it back in, you win your division pretty easily, then you fall down to a team and you come back. Again, to me, this team is scared of nothing. I know in other sports like Exactly. You know, in other sports, they say a series doesn't start until the home team loses the game. Well, technically, and the same with the Yankees in Houston, all they've done so far is protect home field. I mean, if the Yankees come back and win a game, it's a three-game series. If the Cubs come home and win two games, it's a three-game series. So until someone wins on the other person's field, honestly, I don't think either one of these teams, the Yankees or the Cubs, are worried.
Not at all. So we did win game five, though, in the division series.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, think about it. The Yankees are down 0-2 to the, you know, what people were feeling were the best team in the NBA, and they dropped the first two, and then all of a sudden, they win a 2-2 at home. All the pressure's now on Cleveland. They go in there, and they win a masterpiece. So I'm not doubting any of these teams that are down 0-2 right now. As long as they protect home field, and CC Sabathia, that is what you pay for from your big game pitcher. You pay him $25 million to come out and pitch the way he pitched last night, to pitch the way he pitched in the Cleveland series. And each time they needed that win, CC Sabathia came through.
Yeah, I mean, he's your guy to go to. Not
he
to
really,
you
know
about Tanaka.
No, but you know what, though? Tanaka didn't pitch that badly actually in the opening game at all. And he didn't pitch bad in the Cleveland series. So I'm just not worried about, you know, like I said, you have one team who's not supposed to be there, and the New York Yankees. They're supposed to technically be a year away. They're not stressed. They're like, hey, we're early. And the Cubs on the other side is like, look, we're down 3-1 in the World Series. I'm not too worried about this. Let's go. Let's go play some baseball.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I think it's very interesting, totally interesting, and I'm glad, you know, I'm glad you called in. I was going to get to baseball for sure, but there's one thing I do want to ask you about. And it's,
sure.
I was going to get into this replay in baseball. And this is where baseball, to me, shoots itself in the foot a little bit, and they have to sometimes learn how to keep things behind closed doors. You have a replay system that took you forever to get. Replay gets two calls right. By the rules, they get two calls right, and now you're upset that they got the two calls right because that's not it's not in the spirit of baseball, but it's in the rules of baseball. And to me, this is where baseball talks out of both sides of it. You know what? Because the Cubs were not complaining at all that they got that call against the Washington Nationals, but they're complaining that they weren't in the spirit of the rules against the Dodgers. Look, if you have instant replay and you have a replay, a challenge system, you have to be an idiot to honestly think if the umps see something that's true, they're going to say, well, we saw it. Yeah, we know that we don't usually call it. We know that it's not in the spirit. So since it's not in the spirit, we're going to let that stand. No, it's in a rule book. So either you have instant replay that is going to follow the rules, or you're going to have instant replays that follows the spirit. Or you then have to redo your instant replays and say, we're only going to call foul balls. We're only going to see if someone is running on base and they're safe, or we're only going to call this and put rules on what you're going to review. But you can't say we're going to review everything, and then when it gets overturned, then all of a sudden be upset about it. Can't have both.
No,
you
can't.
Know what I'm saying?
I mean, somebody's got to try to, you know, figure out how the instant replay really works, because I don't think they do.
Which is true. Which is what I'm saying. You got to make clear-cut rules, and we should learn something from the NFL, because they've had instant replay forever, and there are times where we as the fans look at it and say, a blind man could see that was a catch. And we're still upset over things that we see happening in football. But there are things in football that they were smart enough to say, we're not going to review holding calls. We're not going to review this. This is not allowed to be reviewed. And so there are rules that we know they're not going to look for, no matter what. And so because there are those rules, we don't get upset when they get missed on instant replay. In basketball, you can only use replay in the last 2 minutes of a game. That's it. And if someone is going up, or say they're fouled, and they're checking to see if there's a flagrant foul. If they traveled before the flagrant foul, too bad. That's not the thing that we look for. So it's a clear-cut set of rules as to what's being looked at. And I think that's what baseball has to say to itself. Okay, if we don't want this looked at, we have to say this is one of the things we're not going to look for. And in that way, it makes it easier on everyone.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, you take the replay that happened with the game two on Saturday. That did not look like he was safe at home plate.
No.
He wasn't.
Nope. And you go back, like I said, to the other series, and you look at it, and you say, wait a second now. This guy's foot barely came off the bag, but the glove is still applied. And the Cubs and Astros, we never call that. But when you show it, and a manager is saying, hey, he's out, I see out, you have to change the call. You can't. The one thing that baseball has, I think, that hurts itself with replay, they have too many unspoken rules. And you have the unspoken rules, and then you have the rules that are on the books. You can't use so many unspoken rules in the spirit of the game and then replayed it, and then it's actually calling for the rule that's in the books. And you say, ooh, crap, yeah, crap, we got to change it. But in the spirit of the game, we never did. No, but that's not the rule. Got to do one or the other. And I think that's the one part that I wish, and maybe they will this offseason. You never know. Maybe this will be one of the things that they, you know, they change and they look at and they get it working right. But I will say this. This has been probably one of the most entertaining postseasons that we've seen in a long time, I think, on both sides in baseball. So let me ask you, getting back to football real quick. The Giants, I'm sure you were on with us. I'm sure you know there's no way anyone on earth other than the New York Giants thought they would go into Denver and win that game Sunday night.
I had no idea they were going to win it. I think they were going to get crushed. I really did. I really thought they were going to get pounded.
What does that say about the NFL right now? That almost at any time, yeah. I mean, even the Jets almost beat New England.
Terrible call.
The Bears go into Baltimore and beat them. I think the one thing that the NFL always hopes for, a parity, they have it as the most parity they've had in a long time in NFL. There's not one team that you can say, this is the team they're going to run away with it.
No, and with what happened with Green Bay, you know, Rodgers, now anything is up. I think anything can happen now.
Yep. Yep. I'm still, and Lou, you listen all the time. I know you probably remember me saying this. I've still hooked my hitch on the Philadelphia Eagle bandwagon, big time. I've been saying they're the best team in the NFC East. I think that I thought it was Atlanta when the season's starting, but Steve Sarkisian has managed to kill yet another offense, this time in the pros. And I think Philly has everything you need if they get home field to win basically two games at home.
Yeah. It's possible, but I still think the Yankees are going to take it.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. So, hey, listen, don't forget, we are 12:30 this entire week.
12:30, your time, 3:30, my time.
Exactly.
I got to go by Eastern.
No worries. The 11 p.m. football show tomorrow is the same. That's not changing.
Okay, if I can make it, because I may have, you know, another podcast doing, because that's kind of like my actual job.
I hear you.
You know,
because
I do a nighttime show for a late night show with a guy from Detroit, and we do a post game, and most of the post games start at 11, and tomorrow is a doubleheader because we have the opening of the Pistons and we have the Red Wings both playing the same night, so tomorrow might be a little tricky.
No problem.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Depending on my schedule.
That's a big day in Detroit.
I mean, you know, depending on my schedule. So I'll try to be the football show as often as I can on Wednesday nights.
Alrighty, my friend. Well,
so
I appreciate it. I'm going to get these. I will do it. I'm going to get these picks out the way, and day gets going really quick. So, hey, I appreciate you as usual.
All right. Thanks, Blarf.
Hey, have a good night. Hey, thank you. Bye-bye now.
Sure.
That's our friend Lou back there in Jersey. Everyone, okay, so check this out. In the NBA, I know everyone is clamoring about picks and clamoring about this and clamoring about that. I'm about to officially give you your playoff teams. I'm going to do it right now. So get your pen, get your pencil. There's a couple teams that I kind of have on the fence. But I'm going to give, and this is in the West, because the West is obviously the most talented conference in terms of teams that can actually make the playoffs. So I'm going to give them to you. These are the teams that are absolutely, positively, not have no chance whatsoever to make the playoffs in the West. You ready? Dallas. Actually, I should do the East first. Less surprises. We'll save that for last. In the East, I have these teams making the playoffs. I have Toronto, who are going to take a step down, to be honest with you. I have Charlotte, Washington, New York. Excuse me. I don't know why I said New York. Philadelphia. And they're just going to get in. Milwaukee, Miami, Cleveland, and Boston. No, I do not think Detroit's getting in. No, I definitely don't think the Pacers are getting in. I think the Pacers are going to be one of the worst teams in the NBA. The Nets, better, but not good enough. The Knicks, got to see, one, if Porzingis can stay healthy enough for an entire season. Two, it's a whole different animal when you are now the lead man on a team and not in someone else's shadow. Orlando, no. The Bulls, no. Those are the teams that will not get in. The rest, though, we have Boston getting in, and I think I kind of confused everyone there. Getting in, we have Boston, Cleveland, Miami, Milwaukee, Philadelphia, Washington, Toronto, and Charlotte that I think will have the most realistic chance to do anything. Boston and Cleveland, outside shot for Washington. I have Boston going to the NBA title, to the finals. Let's just cut through it. Miami should be, a better team from the beginning of the year. Milwaukee should be a better team from the beginning of the year, and they should get better when Jabari Parker comes back from injury. Philadelphia is going to get in for a couple reasons. One, they're improved. Two, hopefully they stay healthy. And three, those other teams that I mentioned, you know, Atlanta, Chicago, Detroit, Indiana, Brooklyn, the Knicks, the Magic, they're all just terrible. So Philly is going to get in based on the fact that the teams that are not getting in are god-awful. Washington, who honestly, I think they're better than they really are. Not too much change with the team. They got more experience, but I just don't see them getting past a Boston or a Cleveland. I just don't see it. I'm not saying they're not a good team, but I just don't see that. Toronto will have a pretty good regular season like they normally do. The defense isn't that good, and their best player, you can say either DeMar or Kyle, but Kyle Lowry seems to shrink every year when the lights are brightest in the playoffs, and I don't know why, because he is such a talented player. I think Charlotte is going to come on and get in. I just don't see them with and I know they tried to bolster their bench with Malik Monk, and I think they're going to be a good team. I just don't think they're going to be a team good enough to beat one of the three upper echelon teams in Washington, Cleveland, and Boston in a seven-game series. I just don't see that happening. Okay, let's go over to the West. And it's easier in the West to say who's not getting in, and then I'll give you some of the teams I think outside looking in, you just don't know. Okay. here are the teams that I don't think have a chance at getting in. Dallas Mavericks, the LA Lakers, the Phoenix Suns, and the Sacramento Kings. Those are the teams I just don't think have a shot to get in. And Phoenix hurts the most, but it doesn't hurt the most. And by that, I mean they're such a young team. In fact, I'll be out there tomorrow night with the Suns. They're such a young team. I think they will do remarkably better. But you got to kind of temper that with truth and your expectations. Your point guard is the old dude on the team at like 28, which is far from old at all. One of your best players on a team, Devin Booker, probably becoming slowly the face of the franchise. He's not old enough to drink. Dragan Bender, again, they're expecting more from him this year. He's not old enough to drink. Your top rookie, Josh Jackson, he's not old enough to drink. Your sixth man coming off the bench, running point guard, Tyler Ulis, he's 22, 23. This is his second year in the league. Alex Lynn, maybe considered an old guy at 25. Your old guy on the team is Tyson Chandler. He's a you know, a biscuit on the other side of 30. So you got such a young team, especially at your scoring position, and they have to be able to develop and to grow. And they're going to be a much improved team, but I don't think they're going to improve enough to quite get over the hump. And it's the same with the Lakers. Young team, just not quite enough to get over the hump. Sacramento, they're just not good enough. Dallas, they're just not good enough. So there's a difference in the way the teams are constructed. Teams that will get in: Golden State, Houston, San Antonio, and OKC for sure, absolutely, positively. Golden State, Houston, OKC, and San Antonio. They're in. So that leaves four spots for Minnesota, Clippers, Utah, New Orleans, and Memphis. Let me read this one more time, because there's seven teams, four spots. Minnesota, Portland, Denver, the Clippers, Utah, New Orleans, and Memphis. Now here's, and I'm going to kind of break each team down just a little bit. I would say Minnesota gets in, and I would say Portland gets in. So we're now down to five positions. Excuse me, we're down to two positions with five teams. The Clippers this year are going to be different from Clippers of old, because when the Clippers broke down, when Blake Griffin broke down, which something happens almost every year, you always had Chris Paul there that could hold everything together. If Blake Griffin goes down this year, who's going to hold everything together? Who's going to be able to get the ball to DeAndre Jordan to make him appear to be a scorer when we all know that he's not? You know, I like Patrick Beverley a lot, and he wants opportunity to prove that he is an incredible field general, but he's not Chris Paul. In Denver, young team, a lot of talent and a lot of spots. Gary Harris just got a big deal, big contract. It's a lot different when you're playing for a contract than you're playing with the contract. Utah, how good are they really going to be with Gordon Hayward in Boston and Dante Exum, who's now hurt? New Orleans, how good are they going to be? They've got all preseason to see what the two big guys can do, in Davis and in Cousins, and how they could construct an offense that can run well between both big men, both uber-talented big men. But now Rondo is out with sports hernia. And if you fall too far behind in the West, you are not going to catch up. And then we have Memphis, who somehow sneaks in every year, no matter what. But who's going to be the other person to step up? We know what we're going to get from Mike Conley, who I still say is the most underappreciated point guard in the NBA. And you still have Marc Gasol, but you got to find some points from somewhere else. You got to find some offense from somewhere else. Is Parsons back? Chandler Parsons back? Or is Chandler Parsons still fragile? And I'm saying that very, very nicely. Is he still fragile? Will he still be able to get through will he be able to get through a season? Hell, will he be able to get through a couple games without getting hurt? So we'll see. We'll see. And with all that said, they're so gritty. Okay, here's the deal, and here's how I'm going to go. I'm going Denver in. And as a lot of people call them, Clip City, Chip City, I have them out. I have Memphis in. I definitely have New Orleans out. I think they're not going to get off to a fast enough start. Utah's going to see how much they miss Gordon Hayward. So my last spot is either going between the Clippers and Memphis. I think Memphis just plays better team defense, and they're just so solid, and they do all the little things. And I'm really concerned about Blake Griffin making it a whole year. So, yes, I have the Clippers out of the playoffs. And I'm hearing it in my head right now. If they get in, listen, folks, if they get in, I'm not surprised. But as of right now, I just don't have them in. But we'll see tonight. Everything tips off. We'll have more insights on Courtside with PLR, which is coming up later in the week. On that show, we'll talk a little bit more hoops. We'll have a couple games in. We'll see how a couple players look. We'll see how Kyrie looks on his new team. We'll talk about that. We'll have some news and notes and sounds from the Suns versus Portland from Wednesday coming up. And then the following Monday, we'll have some stuff in from the Suns Sun playing the Lakers this week. So we'll have a lot of stuff to get to, a lot of stuff to talk about. I'm really looking forward to it. Before we get out of here, I want to let you know in terms of baseball, I 100% meant what I said. I have not counted out the Yankees. I have not counted out the Cubs. I just think those teams are too talented. And until the stake is actually in the Cubs' heart, I don't believe that they're going to lose to anyone right now. I'm not buying that at all. Looks like we have one call before we go. Let's get them, let's squeeze them in really quick. This is PLR. This is the Cave Show caller. Who do we have online?
It's Ryan Dorf, man. What's going on?
Hey, Ryan, what's up, buddy? Just in time, man, as we're doing 12:30 shows all week. This is our man, the best intern in the world. Ryan, there's obviously something on your mind, which means it's very important, and it's probably going to be very wrong if it has to do with analytics and going against me. But with all that said, what's up, my man?
Well, it's good, great day today. You know, obviously NBA is opening up, so I'm excited about that. But I kind of want to talk a little bit about this ASC win over Washington, because I got some thoughts on it.
Floor is yours.
Okay. Everyone is hyping up ASU and jumping on the bandwagon now that they won one game, and I'm not. And I want everyone listening to know that. And I want to tell you because it is only one game, okay? And anyone win one game. And ASU scored 13 points, okay, and against any of the team in any of the week, that's most likely a losing score. The defense played well. I'll give them credit for that. But Washington's offense was also awful, so uncharacteristically awful. 9 times out of 10, Washington wins that game. I'm not going to give ASU too much credit, and also the reason I'm actually kind of upset about this is because now people are going to be clamoring that Todd Graham should stay, and I don't think that's the case. If they keep this up, I think that there's a discussion there. We need to see. But what I think about this is, okay, good job. You went out. You got a great win. Go out and do it again. Prove to me it's not a fluke. Otherwise, I'm not jumping on the bandwagon.
I'm glad you were able to get that off your chest. You did not use analytics, which I think is great. but you are dead wrong. So supersedes the fact that you didn't use analytics. First off, you're cannibalizing yourself. When you walk into places with a degree, what is that? What university will be on that degree?
Arizona State.
See, first there you go. You should be ashamed of yourself. Two.
So, what are you? Am I supposed to be biased? I'm supposed to be unbiased journalist.
When it comes to a place that took a lot of my tuition money, I am very biased. All right, let's go ahead and get that off, get that going. But no, all kidding aside, though, I hear a lot of people say that they want Todd Graham gone. And I understand.
Yes.
But ASU, hold on, no, ASU is not Alabama. It's not LSU. It's not Florida. It's not Penn State. It's not Ohio State. It's not those schools. And so in saying that, I'm not talking the tradition of football. I'm talking the tradition of spending a lot of money on football coaches. ASU
mm-hmm.
is not going to spend a lot of money on a football coach when they're still having to pay another football coach. So knowing that they're not going to go out and give a Chip Kelly X amount of money, because he's the one that runs the closest offense to what Todd Graham runs, where the players that have been recruited and the players that are freshmen and sophomores will be able to adjust to and play.
Right.
There's not another coach out there that you're going to bring in that's going to change the system, that's going to win for a couple of years until they start to get their guy in, which is then
that's
going
fine.
To make that coach.
I just want Graham gone.
Oh, hold on. But it's going to make that coach look bad for 2 or 3 years, and fans are going to say, wait a second, we fired him to bring in this guy that's winning the same amount of games, and college football isn't what it was 10, 12, 20, 30 years ago, where a coach has 5 years, which what used to be the normal, they get 5 years to get a program turned around. Those aren't these days anymore. We saw a good coach in Charlie Strong, who led a Louisville team and recruited very well, go to Texas. They give him 2 years. He said by Texas people that he can't coach. He now is in Central Florida, and they're a ranked team. Or South Florida,
mm-hmm.
excuse me, and they're a ranked team. The guy Hermanson, who replaced him, who made all this stink, and everyone said how great he was and how the team would turn around instantly, they still stink. And now you have the fans there clamoring that what type of hype were we sold on? Why are we still paying all these coaches all this money? We see this at LSU. Orgeron, yeah, great recruiter. Where are our wins? It's not like that here. They're not going to pay a coach or just get rid of a guy if they can't get another guy better to come in. And I know you
right.
love Chip Kelly. I know you do. But if Chip Kelly doesn't want this job, you're going to fire Graham to go and get who? If Chip Kelly says no, then who did you fire him for? Who are you going to go get?
Okay. Let's think about this. Chip Kelly is unemployed right now. Chip Kelly is taking any job he can. Chip Kelly's got people calling him a racist. Chip Kelly is not the same coach he was a couple of years ago. And in my opinion, Chip Kelly needs to get his career back on track. Chip Kelly is kind of like Nick Saban, where he went to the NFL, couldn't really do it, but now he needs to come back. And he's got the chance to be like Saban, where he resurrects that career by winning games at the college level. He's got a chance to do that. Now, if I'm him, do I want to go to ASU? No. But do we want him to come here? Yes. And here's the thing, what you're saying. You know, you don't want to fire him because he'll bring in somebody else, and those will be saying, oh, well, we fired him to get him. Okay. Nick Saban was the head coach of the Dolphins in 2005 and 2006, okay? They won 7-10 games in those 2 years. The next year, Dolphins won one game, okay? So they fired Nick Saban. It's clear he couldn't do it. He couldn't handle the NFL. But I mean, Cam Cameron, they won one game, and then the next year, they won the NFC. They won the AFC East and won 11 games and lost the Ravens in the playoffs.
But you're talking pro.
You can bring someone in. Okay, but my point is if you can bring someone in for 1 year, and let's say you fire Graham and bring somebody in. I don't think people are going to be complaining about this guy because he's still going to be playing with Graham's players. If you don't give him a chance to recruit, give him a couple of years, let him get Graham's crap out of the system, let him bring in his own guys, and if he still fails, then okay, then the experiment was a failure. But if he's playing with Graham's guys, can you really fault him for failing if it's one of the guys that he brought into the program?
Yes. Nowadays, college football, yes, you do not get 5 years anymore. You get 3 years. That's it. You don't get 5 years. So if let's say ASU doesn't go to a bowl game, and I really think they are going to go to a bowl game, But if they don't go
you
to
do.
A bowl game and they miss, I definitely do. I think you missed something very important. You said Washington's offense wasn't clicking. Being at that game is because ASU wasn't missing any tackles. They were getting to Browning left and right. Browning was 100% shook up. He didn't know what size.
Okay, so they weren't missing any tackles against Washington, but they couldn't tackle against San Diego State. So I'm sorry, but like either you can tackle or you
okay,
can't tackle.
But,
clearly, they had a better tackling game.
But was San Diego State the first, second game of the year, or was it the fifth, sixth game of the year? Teams do get better. Yeah. These are college kids. And here's my other question. You said that's one win. Was Oregon ranked when they came in here?
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, I want to talk about Oregon, man, because if anyone knows college football, Oregon is not – I'm sorry. When I saw that Oregon was ranked coming into the year, I was flabbergasted, okay? Because Oregon has not been a good team. Mariota left the team.
Okay, was Oregon a ranked team?
Yeah, they were ranked. Was ranked. I mean, it's like, okay, they were ranked.
Right, and the San Diego State loss that everyone was clamoring about and how bad that loss that was, San Diego State
yes,
turned out to be
yes,
a pretty good team.
Yeah, they are ranked now. Yeah, I think they're almost
okay.
ranked. They might be ranked now.
Okay, and they went up to Stanford where they were playing a running back that had 1,128 yards on 112 carries, and I believe Stanford was ranked, right?
Yeah, Stanford was ranked, and they lost
okay.
the game.
So technically, you could say their only bad loss this entire year, their only bad loss was to Texas Tech, and a game that they stormed
every
back and almost won.
Every loss is a bad loss. Every loss is a bad loss. It's a loss.
No, not when it comes to – see, we got to think college football versus pro football. And the pros, every loss is a bad loss. And the system and in the computer in football – every loss is not a bad loss. If you're the number one team in the country and you lose to West Texas, Missouri, Eastern State University College, that's a bad loss. If you're the number one
okay,
team in
the
country.
First game of the season, man. The first game of the ASU season, they almost lost. I'm pretty sure. They almost,
did, but,
it was like
but
the,
they,
what, New Mexico State?
But did they lose?
Okay, I'll call that a bad win then. It's a bad win.
But there's also.
They should have
you know as well as I do. In the computers, there's no such thing as a bad win. There's only a bad loss. And when you look at
I'm
the
sorry,
teams that
you,
ASU
you
has
tell
to
– me that if Alabama were to play like New Mexico State and Alabama were to win like 27-24, you don't think people would start scratching their heads and say, okay, there's something going on here? Like, there's no reason
people
they should
scratch,
only win
scratch,
the game.
People scratched their head when Alabama barely beat Texas A&M. But there's only two good teams in college football. Let's just be honest about it. It's Alabama's offense and Alabama's defense. Those are the two best teams in the country. So,
right.
But ASU is playing well. Teams get better in college football through the season. They learn how to play together better. These are young kids. And you can't tell me that some of these people that Graham has recruited, you're going to call bums. You're going to call Nikhil Harry a bum?
No,
I'm not
calling Nikhil Harry. He should be getting the ball every play. They should be feeding
you're gonna
him
call,
the ball.
You're going to call Kalen Ballage a bum? I'm not.
No.
I'm not going to call DeMarro Richard a bum. I'm not going to call Emmanuel Wilkins,
Wilkins
a bum.
I am going to call
you're
him
gonna
call,
the
ball.
Wow, there's – I want you to put on some glasses and watch Manny Wilkins play because he's been playing
Blake Barnett
incredibly well. If Blake Barnett was 10 times better – he would be on the field. It's our Graham's fault that he can't complete passes in practice.
Oh,
Ryan, tell me when I didn't get a hold of you.
At Ryan Dorf on Twitter. You know what it is. I am a river.
Boy, these millennials. Everything has to be has to be a video game if it doesn't work. This is... If you he's living in fantasy football. You can reach us on social media at The Sports Cave on Instagram, Twitter, and the Facebook fan page at The Sports Cave. Of course, you can get us on the website at thesportscave.com, where cave is always with the K. You can get me directly at PLR on sports on Twitter. These rose-colored glasses. Hey, thanks for the callers that called in. Ryan, thanks for calling in on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. And believe me, folks, Al still keeps schooling the youngster. That's why he's the best intern ever.
6-0.
Everyone take care. Have a great day.
Bye.